Hey friends, I'm Jess Connolly. I'm an author, a coach, a Bible teacher, and a local church leader, and I love talking to real people who know what it means to have full lives, but also want to walk in abundance. This podcast is for you. It's not my podcast, it's ours. It's for people who crave lighthearted conversations and deeply spiritual truth. It's for people who are busy, tired, waiting, growing, dreaming, working, or praying about what's next. Wherever you're listening from, if it's quiet, mundane, or busy, I am praying for you and I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. I am convinced that the enemy of our souls often gets us distracted by having us ask the wrong questions. It started in the garden when he asked Eve if God really said what he said. This one question gave Eve the opportunity not only to doubt God's, but also to doubt her capacity to hear from God. Through the last couple of decades, I've gotten to counsel and coach and pastor multiple women who've asked, "Am I doing enough for God?" And I have to tell you, I think this is the wrong question for us to be asking. We come by it honest because everything in the world tells us we have to earn our place, but that is the antithesis of the gospel. If you've ever wondered if you're doing enough for God, this episode is for you. If you already want to play devil's advocate and say, "Well, what about?" This episode is for you. Let's dig in. Hey friends, am I doing enough for God? Let's talk about this question. So I'm going to share a lot of things today that I hope will speak freedom and the gospel and lightness and opportunity and invitation and ambassadorship over you. I'm going to share a lot of thoughts. But I have to tell you that I need to be honest with you before I ever get started. I am Jess. My name is Jess. This is our podcast, the Jess Connolly Podcast. And I need you to know I often wonder if I'm doing enough for God. So I'm going to speak freedom over you and I'm going to speak life over you. And I want us to maybe turn this question around on its head and ask some better questions, maybe even about us and God. But I don't want to pretend like this is not a struggle for me. When I stay up in the middle of the night, if I wake up feeling anxious, I wonder, am I doing enough for God? As a pastor, I wonder if my entire church is doing enough for God. I wonder if generationally we have lost our zeal and our love for the kingdom. I'm not a person who sits around saying like, "Oh, you know, everything's fine. Let's just be chill and love God and it'll all work out." I want to see the world changed. I want to see people experience life and hope and healing in the gospel. I want to see renewal in the American church and in the church abroad. I want to see salvation. I want to see a lot of incredible things that often leave me wondering, am I doing enough for God to see those things come to fruition? So I want to be honest with you that I'm speaking truth and I'm going to try to speak life and hope and freedom over you, but I'm speaking it over myself at the exact same time. So I want to tell you about the first time I really started to examine or even maybe notice this question in my head. I think for a long time, after I met Jesus, maybe the first 10 years I was walking with God, I don't know that I even noticed that I was asking this question, or if I was asking that question, I think I probably considered it very godly. But I had this moment, and I've shared this story a couple of different places, so you might have heard it, and I definitely share this in Tired of Being Tired. I had this moment when I was about 25, and if you're picturing a young and free 25-year-old, don't, because I was young, but I wasn't necessarily living a super free life. So I was a stay-at-home mom with my three kids who were 3 and under. So I had maybe a 6-month-old and an 18-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. And that was what life looked like. And it was beautiful and it was wild and it was kind of hard and sweaty, but I loved it. My husband and I were struggling with literal poverty. We had left the mission field at the exact moment that the 2008 recession hit. And my husband could not find a job and he was doing everything he could to find a job, to get side work, etc. and we were just really, really struggling financially. And so we shared a car, we shared a cell phone, and we shared a laptop. And the way our day worked that it was that if he could find work, if he could find somewhere to go work for the day, then he would take the cell phone and I would have the laptop at home. He would also obviously have to take the car. I would keep the laptop at home, and we found a website. This is before like iMessage. We found a website where we could text each other. I could text from the laptop, so I could just say like, we're safe, et cetera, we're here. So I'd be at home without a laptop and without a cell phone with my three kids, three and under. With not a lot of money, we'd go on a lot of walks, and thankfully we had enough for like basic cable TV, so we watched a lot of Dinosaur Train, and I would read my Bible, and then when he would get home at night, I would sometimes blog or do a little writing, et cetera, go to a Bible study, that kind of thing. But life was really sparse, and it was really difficult. And to be honest, I felt like all of it was my fault. I felt like the sparseness and the hardness of our life was because I wasn't working hard enough, or because I wasn't a good enough wife, or because we weren't doing enough. And I remember that I probably taught my kids more scripture during that season when they could barely speak than I do now. I'll tell you that. I was obsessed with this idea of like trying to make sure that they were good Jesus followers, that they grew up to be disciples of Jesus. And I recognize now that despite all my efforts and despite anything I do, I actually can't control that. Only God can control that. I was just really living in a season of like depressed and defeated striving. And so one night I was sweeping, and I guess I was sweeping kind of aggressively. And Nick was sitting on the couch watching me. The kids had gone to bed. And I was like, I remember just like kind of aggressively moving around the house sweeping, and I started crying. And I think he said something along the lines of like, hey, you're doing such a good job. Like, you're such a good mom. And I remember saying back, like, don't say that. You don't know that. I'm really not. And he said, babe, this season's so hard. Like, you're doing so great. I'm so proud of you. And I remember looking at like our tiny little house that we were living in and just like looking around at our life and saying like, everything basically says otherwise. Like, I'm not doing a good job. I'm such a mess. And he said, will you come sit down with me? Like, I'd like to just talk to you for a second. And Nick was in seminary at the time. And he was like, can I tell you something I'm learning about God? Like, can I ask you some questions based on something I'm learning? And I said, sure, absolutely. And he said, do you know the gospel? And I remember being really offended and defensive. And I was like, are you kidding me? I've been walking with God for 10 years. Like, I read my Bible every day, multiple times a day. Like, I'm trying so hard to be a godly woman. Of course I know the gospel. And he was like, okay, tell me what you think the gospel is. And I was like, well, you know, the gospel is the good news that Jesus loves us. And he was like, right, yes, but like, that's not the whole good news. He said, do you know the bad news before the good news? And I was like, I don't know what you're saying. Like, just cut to the chase. And he essentially was like, the good news is only good if you recognize the bad news. And the bad news is that we need Jesus. The bad news is that like, we are not enough. And that makes the good news all the better, that at just the right time, when we were still sinners, Jesus came toward us and he chose us. But he was like, the good news is only good if you take the bad news. And he said, I think you may misunderstand the gospel a little bit, because it seems like you're basically like trying to be the good news. You are trying to live in a way that acts like you don't need him, and you do, and it's okay. It's not only okay, it's like the way the world is. It's just how it is that you need God, and he has accommodated for you. And I don't know, something shifted in me, and I started to understand the bad news and the good news of the gospel just a little bit more clearly. I understood the bad news that I wasn't enough on my own, and I couldn't try hard enough. And my intentions were never going to be totally just and righteous. I started to understand the bad news that my best would always fall flat. And the worst news is that I wouldn't have chosen Jesus on my own. I couldn't earn his love, even if I tried to do everything right. But the good news was that he chose me first. The good news was that he handed his righteousness to me as a gift and an identity that I could take and run with. And there was a safety and a belonging that I had access to before I ever tried to do something right and eventually messed it up. The good news was that Jesus saved me once and for all at the wild moment of salvation, and he kept saving me and extending grace and forgiveness and redemption as I ultimately needed it day after day. The bad news was that I wasn't the best mom. I wasn't the most faithful pastor's wife. I wasn't the kindest friend, and I wasn't the most secure minister of the gospel or even the godliest wife. But the good news was that I was loved no matter what. And God had placed me where I was at on purpose for his glory and the good of others, to be his ambassador and to be his daughter, just like I was, no pretending or no striving needed. It was around that time that I started to memorize Romans 8. And maybe for the first time in my life, I wasn't memorizing scripture to show off. I was memorizing it because it was the lifeboat I needed. It was the buoy I needed to keep from drowning. And I don't remember all of Romans 8. But I do remember this part that I say over and over and over again, still in my head, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. I love how Romans 8, the Message version, says, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Why am I telling you this whole story? Why am I talking about Romans 8? Why am I telling you about sweeping? Here's why. I think the enemy of our souls wants us to keep asking, am I doing enough for God? Because it is the black cloud. It is the law of sin and death. It is the checks and balances that has us asking, have we done enough? Will we do enough? Are we enough? And the gospel says, great news. You can't do enough. You're not enough, but Jesus is. So, spoiler alert, this episode is about spiritual exhaustion. Asking, am I doing enough for God? I believe for many of us is the beginning of experiencing spiritual exhaustion. And I think at the core of it, spiritual exhaustion happens when we misunderstand the gospel and we begin to add on to it. So we say like, okay, I know the bad news. I need Jesus. The good news is that he loves me and he came toward me at just the right time. But also, dot, 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 comma, blank, blank, blank. And we all do this really honestly. We all start to say like, okay, I know the whole gospel is this, but I also need to serve him. Or like, but I also need to do blank. Or, but he also expects this of me. Or, but other people need blank. And all of what we would maybe put on the second half of that sentence can be true. But I think anytime we try to combine it with the gospel, we just miss out on the very good news. And I will say, and we're going to talk about it in this episode, I will say, I think a lot of what we add on to the end of that sentence sounds right, but it's maybe not exactly the way God would say it. Let me give you an example. If you say, okay, I know the gospel. I get that he loves me and he died for me and he gave his life for me, but he also needs me to serve other people because that's my calling. I would pause and say, when did we start saying that God needs anything from humans? Because God is God and he will get his glory and he can bring people to himself without ever using other humans. He tells us in scripture that his nature will declare glory if we don't. And he can come to people in dreams. Now, so I would say a better way to put that, at least from my perspective, is the whole gospel is this, that at just the right time, while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us and made his way toward us, that we might be in right relationship with him and the Father and the family of God, period. Now, that's not all. He didn't just call us his kids. He also called us ambassadors. And he also said, I'm also going to give you rights and roles in the kingdom of God because for your joy and the good of others and my glory, you're going to get to use these gifts to be a part of the kingdom work. But all of that is actually about what you get to do, not what I need you to do. And all of it is going to be about you experiencing more of my kingdom. And none of it is going to be about maybe these responsibilities, these burdens, these obligations that I've placed on you. So let's pause there and let's say for any of you who might be like, well, but what about holiness? What about sanctification? What about honoring God? What about our responsibility? What about serving? Let's talk about it. I want to get into all of those things. So you might not know this. Actually, one of my least popular books is one of my favorite books. And I always am really excited when I meet someone who's read it because not a ton of people have read it. And it's the second book that I ever published. And it's called Dance, Stand, Run. Number one, a book that you can't really understand the title is probably not going to sell well. And so people rarely even know what I'm saying when I say dance, stand, run. It all kind of runs together. So that was on me. That was on me. It should have had a better title. I often say I want to put it out again another time in another space. But another reason why Dance, Stand, Run was a little confusing is it's honestly a book about holiness, but it has a bright pink frilly cover. And I think what I was trying to do was like soften the subject matter a little bit, but instead I think it just confused people. So it's actually a book about dancing in God's grace, standing in our holiness, and running on mission. And I ended up writing that book because I started asking the question, like, have we forgotten about holiness? Have we forgotten about holiness? Have we forgotten about what God has written over our lives in regards to holiness? But the more I studied scripture, the more I studied theology, what I found is that we are made holy at the point of salvation. We do not become holy, but we spend the rest of our lives agreeing with what God has said about us. We spend the rest of our lives agreeing with the fact that we're made holy by grace through faith. We spend the rest of our lives agreeing with the truth that we're ambassadors of his kingdom. We spend the rest of our lives agreeing with the truth that we've been made in his image. We spend the rest of our lives as believers learning to come into agreement with that. And so for me, just so you know, even when we're talking about like, am I doing enough for God? Another reason why I think it's the wrong question to ask, number one, is because it puts a premise that I don't even want to accept in the question that we can somehow do enough for God when we can't. And number two, I think if we want to ask even a more mature or more thoughtful way about this, I think the question to ask is, am I coming into agreement with who he's made me to be? Am I living out the calling, the identity, and the character that he's written over my life? So I would like to propose a few questions that I pray will serve you, maybe as opposed to asking, am I doing enough for God? What about some of these questions? Am I letting myself be loved by God? Am I boasting in my weaknesses and glorifying his strength and his power in my life? Am I listening? Am I paying attention to what God says about me and what he says to me? Are my affections awake for God? Part of the problem with the question, am I doing enough for God, is because it places a big misunderstanding on just the core of our relationship and who does what for whom. And God does so much for us. And I find that sometimes we experience spiritual exhaustion where we just don't have like beautiful feelings of love and passion toward him. And that's because we're just so busy feeling weighed down and striving and thinking about what we can or should do for him. I'd also ask this, am I coming into agreement with God's nearness? Am I coming into agreement with God's nearness? I got in a little bit of trouble, and I use the word trouble very lightly, on Instagram a couple of weeks, almost maybe a couple months ago at this point. And it was because I put out a post that said like, hey, unpopular opinion, I don't read my Bible to get closer to God. And then in the caption, I kind of unpacked why theologically I do not believe that we can get closer to God. I believe that by grace through faith, when you walk in a relationship with Jesus, when you accept a relationship with Jesus, whatever magical and profound way that happens, I do not presume to understand how salvation works. But when we accept a relationship with Jesus, when we begin a relationship with Jesus, by grace through faith, we are as near to God as we can be spiritually. There are no levels. There's no gradation. There's no walking up the steps to somehow get closer to God. By grace through faith, we are as close as we'll ever be. Now, we'll experience His nearness in increasing ways throughout our life, and we'll obviously experience His nearness in increasing ways when we are with Him for eternity, whatever, again, that looks like. But we can't get closer to God, and we certainly can't get closer to God through good works. So I read the Bible to experience how near I already am to God. I don't do it to get closer to Him. Now, I got in trouble about that because people did not like that. And I'm going to tell you what, we don't like when people come for our striving and come for our false understandings of godliness. And I think there's actually something like pretty broken in us that wants to believe that some people are closer to God than others. But my core understanding of Scripture, the Old and New Testament combined, is that it's not possible for some people to be closer to God. If by grace through faith you walk with God, you're a part of the family of God, and there are no levels to that. So I like to ask the question, am I coming into agreement with His nearness to me? Am I doing enough for God is really a question that keeps us living in pretty wild spiritual exhaustion. And in Tired of Being Tired, my new book, I talk through all the different kinds of fatigue. I talk through physical fatigue, obviously, mental fatigue, emotional fatigue, but we also talk a good bit about spiritual fatigue. And if I'm being honest, I believe that a lot of us are missing out on rest because we don't even know what spiritual exhaustion looks like. But if you find yourself asking the question, am I doing enough for God? Spiritual exhaustion may be something you struggle with, and I'm right there with you. So a cool part about Tired of Being Tired, and you'll see this if you order the book, is that at the end of the chapters on spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional exhaustion, I actually do this thing where I give tips for spiritual or physical or emotional or mental low power mode. So low power mode for me is essentially like, how can I move through my life without massively changing my life, but experience a little bit of realistic rest where I'm at? It's almost like maybe not even how can I like stop what I'm doing? How can I rest? How can I draw away? But how can I do what I'm doing in a less taxing or exhausting way? So to end this episode, I want to give you some like spoiler alerts, some kind of behind the scenes that you'll find in Tired of Being Tired, some tips for spiritual low power mode. Again, if you find yourself asking, am I doing enough for God? So the first is this, I would love to encourage you to maybe rethink or retool your time with God. If spending time with God right now feels like something you have to do, it's time to switch it up. If you're having like intense study time, I want to encourage you to just read something a little bit lighter. If you always feel guilty about not praying longer, I want to just encourage you to like maybe try listening to worship music instead. Go on a walk with God. Try journaling or take a break from journaling. Whatever it is, I don't want you to be scared to mix it up and to see if there is a more life-giving way in this season that you could just spend time with the Lord. Come into agreement with His nearness and His goodness. I want to just speak right now to like a little bit of a fear that I think rises up in us that if we don't do our time with the Lord right, that something bad will happen to us, we'll fall out of His grace, we'll fall out of His mercy, we'll fall out of His favor. And I just want to tell you like that is the voice of the enemy. And we begin to believe it very honestly because we're basically taught it overtly and subtly our entire lives. But I want you in the name of Jesus to just try to break off from that and see what a really life-giving time with God in this season might look like. Another spiritual low power mode tip is to begin a gratitude practice. And I think for a lot of us, expressing gratitude for what is happening in our life, for what is growing, for what God is doing will absolutely help us fight striving. It'll help us fight that thing that says we need to make it better, we need to fix it, we need to do more, we need to do extra. So practice gratitude where you're at about this season. Here's another tip for spiritual low power mode, and this one might surprise you. Practice saying you're sorry to God and to other people. And here's why, because I think a lot of times if we're the kind of gals who are asking, am I doing enough for God? And we're being hard on ourselves in that way, chances are we're also probably being hard on other people. And there's a chance that we're also living really defensive, trying to prove that we don't do anything wrong. So practice saying sorry and kick the enemy in the teeth and say, hey, I'm not scared to hold my hands up and say, this is what's happening. And this is how I'm receiving the gospel. In the same vein, maybe try confessing to other people to fight shame. Shame says that if you do something wrong, other people aren't going to love you. God's not going to love you. You're not going to be enough. And so confessing actually might feel humiliating, but if you confess to safe and healthy and happy people, you will experience the refreshment that comes from repentance. In Jesus' name. Am I doing enough for God? I asked the question. You might ask the question too. Maybe let's make space in our lives for new questions, ones that help us experience God's compassion and his gospel and his generosity and his freedom and our holiness and our calling and our confidence in being a part of his kingdom in a new way. Let me pray for us and let's go. Father, I thank you for these women. I thank you that you are walking us toward realistic rest, even in our spiritual lives. I pray that anyone listening to this podcast would feel your compassion and your nearness and your grace in a new and fresh way today. We bless you. We honor you. We love you. And we want to live for your kingdom. But will you help us to do it in a way that is not striving and is not trying to perform and is not trying to forget the good news of the gospel? In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I'm so grateful you listened to today's episode. Thanks for spending time with me. It would mean the world to me to connect with you. So you can send me a DM on Instagram at Jess A. Connolly or head to my website, jessconnolly.com, for more ways to connect. If you have a minute to subscribe and leave a review of the podcast wherever you listen, it would massively help us reach more people with the good news that they can live fully awake. Let's go.